Okay, real talk. We all have embarrassing moments in the bedroom. You know, like gas, bloating, indigestion, and more. And I hear from so many of you with stomach issues, and it's keeping you from the pleasure you so rightly deserve. Well, I got some great news. While studies show that gut issues directly impact our arousal, erections, and overall sexual health, I got a game changer for your overall wellness. Introducing Just Thrive Probiotic. It is my secret weapon for overall health and the fuel for my sex life. Just Thrive Probiotic isn't just any ordinary probiotic. It is a clinically proven game changer, a gut superhero designed to up-level your passion and sex life. So no more embarrassing moments, only a life of gut-powered ecstasy. That sounds good, right? It's the first probiotic formulated with four ancestral survival strains, clinically guaranteed to reach your gut 100% alive. This probiotic is like your personal gut gardener, maintaining the health of your gut by eliminating bad bacteria that causes all those digestive issues and replenishing the good, making it a game changer for your digestion, your immune system, your skin, and even your mood. With Just Thrive, you'll nourish your gut microbiome, fueling your mind, body, and soul. So say hello to increased libido, enhanced pleasure, and a whole new level of satisfaction. Oh, don't miss my episode, Why Gut Health is Sexy with Tina Anderson, where you can learn more about this groundbreaking company. For a limited time, you can try Just Thrive 100% risk-free by visiting justthrivehealth.com and enter promo code SEXWITHEMILY at checkout to save 20% off on a 90-day bottle of Just Thrive probiotic. So take charge of your gut health, take charge of your sex life, and live your healthiest life yet with Just Thrive.
Some people are totally new, and that's fine. I do see new people all the time, but I always ask them, okay, well, but something made you want to contact me. Like, what was it? You know, yes, I'm very beautiful, but I don't think you wanted to just compliment me for an hour. You wanted me to do something with you. So, like, what were you fantasizing about?
Look into his eyes. They're the eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. I'm Dr. Emily, and I'm here to help you prioritize your pleasure and liberate the conversation around sex. Question for you. Have you ever dabbled in BDSM or just wanted to try a new kink, something new in the bedroom? Well, today I'm joined by professional dominatrix and kink expert, Mistress Justine Cross. We discuss the myths and basics of BDSM, starting with what that actually means, how kink and shame has changed over time, and break down how to explore some common fantasies right now in your relationship or with a partner. We also answer your questions, including how to start exploring your kinks if you never have, techniques for restraint play, ways to communicate a new kink to your partner, how to explore different dom and sub dynamics, and the best pet names to use during play. Intentions with Emily. For each episode, join me in setting an intention for the show. I do it. I encourage you to do it. My intention was to bring you somebody who's an expert over 10 years experience. She works in a dungeon. She's worked with a lot of different genders, helping them really fulfill their fantasies. So I wanted to get some advice to get you started. Oh, also, it's super helpful if you please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen to the show. Check out our blog, our website, however you want to engage with the Sex with Emily community. We love to hear from you. I love to hear from you. I love to get your questions. So easy ways to get your questions answered. Call my brand new hotline. It's 559-TALK-SEX or 559-825-5739. Just leave me your questions or message me, sexwithemily.com/askemily. That's it. I can't wait to hear from you. Everybody, enjoy this episode. Justine Cross has over 10 years of experience in the BDSM community as a lifestyle dominatrix consultant, as well as a consent, safe sex, and kink expert. She also owns a popular dungeon, Dungeon East, here in Los Angeles. Let's just define BDSM.
Yes, BDSM is an acronym, and it stands for bondage, discipline, dominance, submission, sadomasochism. So
Okay.
A lot of things in there in that four little letters.
How do we break it all down? I mean, I think people, we mostly get bondage, right? Mm-hmm. And discipline could be verbal, right? Verbal mm-hmm. discipline. What about the sadomasochism part, how do we explain that? Like, how does that manifest in like an act that you would perform?
Well, a sadist is someone who derives pleasure from inflicting pain upon someone, and a masochist is someone who derives pleasure from receiving that pain. I am a sadist. Yes, you can be a sadomasochist. Something like a sadist might like to do is, you know, whipping someone, caning them, doing something that's going to cause physical or, you know, emotional or financial pain, you know. Then masochist, you know, someone who is enjoying being spanked or whipped or, you know, being taken advantage of in some way. Yeah.
Studies have shown people in the pandemic were like, okay, we got to spice it up. We got to keep it interesting. And God knows we all have time for conversations. So what happens when a new couple comes to see you? Like, what are you seeing right now?
Yeah, I'm seeing a lot of newbies, like more so than I thought after being sort of shut down for seeing in-person clients for a year and a half. I thought, oh, all my regulars will come back. I think all my regulars worked out like the shit in their marriage. And then like all the newbies were like, wait, it's our turn now. So I don't know. But I travel a lot too. So I'm seeing a lot of couples come in, but I'm also seeing a lot of women come in. Even though they might be in a relationship, they're coming in by themselves, solo. So that's really wonderful to see, seeing more female clients. Most of my clients are men. And I love being able to help guide people through this experience, like, you know, just doing basic BDSM 101 kind of things, but also just having them, you know, develop better conversational skills, which I'm sure things you've covered in your show before, like consent and negotiation and boundaries. And all of those things are the tenets of good BDSM, but you can apply them to your vanilla sex life, right. Meaning things without BDSM, or, you know, your completely platonic non-sex life, like negotiating stuff with coworkers, or especially during this time where we're negotiating our boundaries of closeness and safety and things like that.
I want to know what the men come in for, what the women come in for. And I know it's like, we can't stereotype. I'm sure it's case by case, but what are you seeing men for typically?
Well, for me, as a professional dominatrix, I do quite a range of activities. So I do, my no list is very short. But everything else, I do a lot of these things where it's like, I'm seeing someone for really light, sensual play, like tickle torture, tease and denial, to some pretty heavy corporal scenes or electro play, and then kind of everything in between. In terms of fetish, like foot fetish, leather, latex, financial domination, things of that nature. And then to your other question about if men and women are coming in for different things, they're not really, because they're coming in to see me and they've done their research and they see me as a quality person to entrust with their fantasies. And we're just exploring different kinds of submission, you know, fantasies for them.
Okay, so they all want to be pretty much submissive, right, if they're coming to see you?
Yes.
How do they know, like, maybe you could walk me through, I mean, you have dungeons now in LA.
Yes, yes.
A famous dungeon. They, like, feature it on shows and stuff, right?
Yes. If you've seen anything in mainstream media in the last, like, 5 to 10 years, it was most likely at one of my two dungeons. I did close Dungeon West last year because of the pandemic, but my dungeon, Dungeon East in downtown LA, is still around. We just did a lot of upgrades, new photos soon. But yeah, that's been a lot of different things.
They go to your site, or they contact you through Instagram, but they come there, and then do you have a form they fill out? Like, do you give them a questionnaire? How mm-hmm. How do you know what they want?
Yes, there is a booking form on there, and you fill out that booking form, and it's you know, confirming that you're fully vaccinated against COVID, and also just answering some basic questions like, what are your interests? How long have you been playing? Do you have any references? It's okay if you do not. And, you know, confirming that you are over 18 and that you have checked my no list and all of that kind of thing. So doing that weeds out most people until sometimes they find out that I'm very expensive or they get intimidated for whatever reason. So based on that booking form, I decide if I want to see them or if I need more information. And then if everything is greenlit, then we set up a time and a place, usually at my dungeon. And then we show up and have an amazing time doing all the things that we talked about.
Wow. I think BDSM came to the forefront with 50 Shades of Grey. Mm-hmm. And so then everyone assumes that they have to be like Christian Grey. They have to have a whole red room of pain. It's always about pain and whips and spanking. And It can be so many things, right? It could be just spanked. It could be that you just want to be dominated verbally. So could you walk me through, maybe is there a session where that's a more typical session?
Yeah, I mean, definitely I agree with you. 50 Shades of Grey kind of brought this out to like moms of the Midwest and book clubs and stuff. Exactly. But we should never be like Christian Grey. We should never be abusive and we should never be billionaires. Like that just shouldn't be a thing. No abusers, right. No billionaires. So my hard limits. So there are no typical sessions, but like a fairly standard session that I'm doing is, you know, when someone comes into the room, things that we've already negotiated before they've come into the dungeon. You know, I might put a collar on them. I'll walk them over to my mirror. I like to start sessions with them, giving, you know, them on their knees if their body is able to do that. And I have them look at me and give me three compliments. And they have to be three compliments I haven't yet heard today. And then we'll start the session. You know, and I will typically put people up on the St. Andrew's cross first, which is that big X. So doing things to their body because I have access to it, I can tie them to it, you know, facing out or facing away from me, depending on what we're doing. I might put them on the spanking horse to do more impact play. I might put them on the bondage bed. I might have them on the floor, like if it's a foot worship session. So they might just be on the floor the whole time.
So these are, you know, people kind of working out different kinks or fetishes. And when you said that, I can't skip over this part when you said, well, it looks like a lot of my clients got their marriages together and didn't come in. Is it the kind of thing where people come in like on their own when they're going through something in a marriage or couples come in together? Because I know some married men who go and they're like, it's secret. What do you see in your practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because it's only what they tell me and I'm only getting one side of the story.
Of course.
You know, it's just I was seeing a couple of people right before lockdown. One was a couple and they saw prodoms together all the time anyway. I just haven't heard from them. And I had another person who was like really great. And I think he's just worked things out with his partner and he, you know, can't get away. It's like when you're locked out, you can't sneak out. Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I think that it's interesting because I'm a professional that also has studio spaces that I rent out to people. I've had a lot of clients who I've seen one-on-one and then they come in with their partner to rent the space. And sometimes I'm there with them to do a couple sessions. Sometimes they're doing it with themselves. And I hope that a lot of what I do in a session with someone is not just like having the best time ever, but also giving them the tools and confidence to understand that, you know, their kink and BDSM is a part of them. And it's okay. It is okay to be kinky. We have so much, you know, sex shaming and thus kink shaming in our society. So I hope people are getting more comfortable with these things. So
yeah, I hope so too. I always say, people, what's kink? I'm like, okay, basically it's if you're not anything but missionary, it's essentially kinky in this world.
Yes.
And I just want people to feel safe. I mean, this is so many people feel that they're bored with their sex lives. They don't spice it up. But I always, society's moving in that direction maybe to be less shameful. But I mean, it also could be because I'm in this world. I would love to see more people just opening up. Like, is there a process that you see people go through or things that they're kind of craving to get by the experience with you, like psychologically, emotionally, sexually?
Yeah, I think people just really want to be understood. I mean, it's so simple. It's not even about a lot of bells and whistles and stuff. It's really just about being understood. And it takes a lot of guts for someone to tell someone else their fantasy who's pretty much a stranger and walking into a dungeon and like, you know, kind of a sketchy place. And you're like, I don't know. And I'm getting naked and telling this person my fantasy. And is it going to be okay? And I think so. She has good reviews, you know. And so that takes a lot. You know, the fact that sex work is the oldest profession. And well, there's a reason why. It's like, this is a very, very innate human need. And it's something that needs to get fulfilled. And if we can't find a partner or if our partner doesn't understand us in the way that we crave and we want, we're going to, of course, hire a professional, hopefully. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So they come into you because they feel they have a sense. Like, I'm assuming that many of your clients have never been to a dungeon before, but from going to your site on the form, they see what's your experience, who your references. What if they don't know what their interest is? Like they might not know all the things, right? Mm-hmm. And then you have a call with them. They might know spanking or being tied up, or do they just kind of list whatever?
Some people are totally new and that's fine. I do see new people all the time, but I always ask them, okay, well, but something made you want to contact me. Like, what was it? You know, yes, I'm very beautiful, but I don't think you wanted to just compliment me for an hour. You wanted me to do something with you. So like, what were you fantasizing about? Like, what kind of porn are you watching? What was the thing that made you decide, I want to see this dominatrix? But it's okay.
That's a great question.
Yeah, it's okay if someone says, you know what, I think this is what I like, but I haven't done it, so I don't know. So then I always say to them, like, okay, we're going to do kind of like an omakase of we're going to try a bunch of different things that are just kind of like the standards. Like, okay, we'll put you on a collar. We'll tie you up. We'll try spanking you. We'll do these different kinds of things. And if you like a certain kind of thing, we'll keep doing that thing. And if you say, oh, wow, I don't like that thing, mercy, okay, then we won't do that thing anymore. And just kind of lightly playing. And I won't do really heavy stuff with someone who's new or new to me, because that's not where we want to go. It's also sort of a wanting more thing too, but.
That's interesting. So in the moment, so I'm assuming you established safe words with people.
Yes.
You just
yes.
said mercy. Mm-hmm. But we have some Instagram questions that came mm-hmm. in because we let people know you were coming on, and someone said, you don't know what you don't know. How can you explore your kinks if you haven't before? Like, they have to say so present too. And mm-hmm. just be like, oh, I like this. I don't like that. So you're kind of creating it as you go along. Is that what it is? They're just sort of exploring.
Yeah, I mean, they're giving me a script and I'm the director. So I'm really understanding people's like reactions and looking for like, you know, micro expressions and things. 99% of the time, the people that come in and say, I want this fantasy or I have this fantasy, that's the fantasy they want. And I give it to them and they're fine. And very few people say, I want this thing. And then we do it. And then they're like, I don't know. But it does happen once in a while, but you're not going to know until you try it.
I mean, that's what I figure. If they're coming to you, they've done the research, they know what they want, and then they get to actually live it out. Like, how amazing for so many people who've just had this fantasy for so long, and then they get to see you and you're actually making it come true. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors who help keep this show free. When we come back, I asked Justine how orgasm factors into her sessions. How does sex work into this? Like actual like ejaculation or orgasm? Mm-hmm. What are the limits there?
Well, I'm not having sex with my clients in the sense of like, I am not naked during session. I don't do anything that ends in job for me. Those are my boundaries and my limits. Generally, it does end in an orgasm, but usually it's because the client is doing something to themselves, or like maybe I'll hold a vibrator on their genitalia and that's it. But it doesn't have to end that way, especially if we're doing things like orgasm control or denial and things like that. But post-orgasm torture is really fun and I love doing that. So it's important that they come.
Talk about post-orgasm torture, please.
Well, generally, you know, everything sounds like such a great idea until you come. You know, you're super hot. You're into everything. You're like, more, more, more pain, deeper, harder, faster, all the things. And then you come and then you're like, oh, that was great. Okay, I'm done. Who is this? Where are we? Who is that lady? Why am I wearing a dress? What's going on? Why do you have that cattle prod here? Like, so then afterwards, you can do more with the body and it's like very painful. So it's like, you know, after someone comes, all those endorphins have just, you know, you've flooded your body, released, but now everything is so much more painful.
Wow.
Where I can do post-orgasm torture to either your organ that has just orgasmed and it is extremely sensitive, or just your body in general. You're in like a different game after that orgasm. Your body's like, wait, what are you doing to us? You know, so, and then it's more okay. painful if you're doing things like corporal punishment to the body or electroplay.
They definitely need a safe word for that. Now, what about orgasm denial? I think that's really, really hot. I think I talk about it on my show a little bit. It's kind of like edging, but with power play. So how would you walk me through orgasm denial? And maybe you could share how people could do it at home if they can't come see you.
Yeah, orgasm denial, which is, I mean, just that, you are not getting to come. I love doing it through chastity training, so which works better with external genitalia because there's chastity devices. So you just don't get to come for however long we decide. And I particularly love doing that, you know, with men and having chastity and they behave so much better in chastity. It's a much better.
Tell me about that, because we have a question about it. How do I talk to my girlfriend about locking me in a chastity cage is one of our questions. Break that down for me, what it is, what the cage is and how it mm-hmm. works. Like, because you might send them home and still work with them while mm-hmm. they're home, right?
Yeah. If you just look up a chastity cage, there's a lot of different varieties, but basically it is like a cage, metal or plastic or, you know, rubber that is going around your cock and balls. So if you try to get an erection, you cannot because it is stuck in this little cage. So you can have serialized locks or, you know, metal locks and stuff. I don't recommend going through security with it. People do. You can. I would not.
That'd be a disaster.
Yeah, TSA is not, like, fun. That's, the uniform is not cute. Anyway, so to the question about how do I talk to my girlfriend about locking me up, I don't know if there's any BDSM or anything like that involved in their lives to begin with, but any kind of conversation like this, I always recommend, like, don't do it like while you're passing each other by on the way to get some almond milk. Like, don't do that. Sit down, have a face-to-face, or even like have a pre-conversation, schedule that conversation and say, hey, I want to talk to you about something fun I want to do in bed. Like, when's a good time to discuss that with you? You want to have this face-to-face or FaceTime, you know, as much as you can, because you want to preface it that way.
Okay. Well, a similar question to that is, how and when can you introduce your kinks with a new partner? The fear of being rejected is very present. So how do you train couples? It sounds like people sometimes come to you to kind of learn what to say, but what do you think about that, introducing it to your partner and that fear?
Yeah, I totally understand. I mean, it's very difficult because there's still a lot of sex shaming that happens and also kink shaming. And I really feel for people because, you know, a lot of my clients are men, so they don't get to really come out and have their submissive fantasies. And a lot of women have a hard time accessing the part of themselves that can be dominant, because we're constantly told as women, if we put this on a binary, of course, to not be dominant, that the nail that sticks up gets hammered down. And we see that time and time again. And it's really sad and unfortunate that we're in 2021 and these are still like the unfortunate stereotypes and dynamics that get played through society. So the fear is real. And I understand. And I mean, I haven't been on the open dating market in like over 10 years. So I'm like, you know, different. And I have all these people to play with and stuff. So I can only imagine. But what I always tell people is, like, you know, the more you put out there what it is that you want in a partner or person that you want to have a sexual relationship with, the more likely you are to get it and, you know, find those people. On dating profiles, I tell people, well, it's like sort of, if you're really into BDSM, mention BDSM. And I was just talking to a friend who's like dating right now. And I said, well, it looks like you want this, this, and this. So do you have that on your dating profile? No, I can never put that. I'm like, well, then how do you expect to get it? Like,
exactly. We need to lead with sex stuff, because then you're going to get in a relationship with someone and you'll be months, weeks, or God knows, married to this person years in. And then you're like, well, they don't do this and they don't do that, or they're not into commit. They won't expand their repertoire. It's like, can we all cover that early on? Like, let's cover it when you start having sex or on the first date. Like, that's how we stop the shame. People are just really honest about it. And then you find your partners, you know?
Yeah.
You get to weed them out. So someone else asked, how could I find out if a partner's kinky without hooking up with them? I think you just have these, don't you think we just got to normalize these conversations?
Just ask them. You know, I just did a private bachelorette party over the weekend. It was like BDSM 101. And I said, just please talk to your partners about like what it is you want to do. And maybe they'll do it, or maybe not, or maybe you can find it with someone else. But if you don't talk about these things, what's going to happen is that guy becomes my client. And then they were like, whoa, you know, and then that like really like, you know, I mean, it was like, we were joking. It was like all super fun and games and everything. But it's like the mental gymnastics that I hear some of my clients going through. And I'm like asking them, I'm like, well, how long have you been married? 2 years. Well, how long have you known you've been kinky? Oh, 10 years. Well, have you told your partner you're kinky? No, I could never do that. And I'm like, then this isn't your partner. This is someone you just share like a condo with. I think you just need to ask. Just say, hey, again, I want to talk to you about like fun stuff I want to do in the bedroom. When's a good time to do that? I'm really kinky. Like, if that's really important to you, please talk to your partner about it. So people can find each other and date people you like. Right. Date people you like, date people you want to have sex with. And if you want to have sex, if sex is important to you. And on the other side of that, if sex is not important to you, please find someone who also feels the same way about sex.
Please save yourself a lot of pain and suffering. I mean, I'm always saying, like, if you listen to this podcast or you're interested in kink, it's like, find someone who has that mindset or has a growth mindset around sex. Maybe they haven't been kinky yet, but they're open to hearing what you have to say. and exploring. Because another question is, how could I have an open conversation with my partner about what I want to try? And I think that these are all the questions sound very similar, because it's like, how do I do it? What do I say? So how would you like advise someone that kink can mean so many things? Is there a beginner like BDSM night that you would teach a couple to kind of dip their toe in?
Yeah, I do have a BDSM 101 class. I'm actually going to be posting it today that is online. So that's like a good kicking off point. And I also have like some free worksheets that one is a kink negotiation worksheet that's free on my website. And it's just one page and you can just like fill it out on your own with your partner, whatever. And it's like, how do I want to feel? What do I want to be called? What does kink mean to me? What do I get out of it? What are things that we don't want to do? And it negotiates the whole thing for you in a very thorough, but also very concise way. So that's a really good place to start. I mean, I get it. It's so hard to have these conversations, but it's better to have these conversations earlier with people than later, especially if it's something really important to you. I get that sometimes, especially in the last year, we haven't even understood some things that were important to us until recently, where there were so many conversations, thankfully, happening for the first time, not just about sexuality, but it's like we didn't know we had to discuss these things that are important. And it's important to have someone who is your partner that shares your life values. And I understand that it's been a very difficult time recently, that you might have just recently discovered that this person you thought shared your life values over things you might not have discussed doesn't. And you know, there's only so much conversation you can have to try to change someone in certain ways. Like you might not be able to convince someone to be not racist or to be kinky. And that's important information to have if those things are important to you.
Absolutely. Have you seen people evolve? Like people were like, nope. And then they come in to see you or as a couple and they're like, oh, it's not what I thought. Like, what do you think that range is?
Yeah, I do think people can come in and understand it. It comes to being seen and to have me who I fit a certain kind of stereotype, you know, where I am like this tall, skinny, good looking white lady who looks very basic and is pretty and is out doing fancy things. And it's like, if I'm telling you that it's okay, then it's like different than if, you know, your friend tells you it's okay. You know, it's like, it's a different sort of weight to that. And it just doing a lot more mainstream things that, of kink. I mean, again, it just, and I'm sure this is something you've covered, but it just comes from, you know, the lack of awareness and even just basic sex education and how we talk about consent and boundaries and negotiation. So then how do we learn about BDSM? We're going to learn about BDSM through friends, adults, depictions in mainstream media, porn. There aren't a lot of mainstream media in for BDSM, but there is.
There's
for
really
other
not.
Kind. Yeah.
Right. Where would you send people? I know that you read a lot of books. I was listening to some of your interviews and you kind of had some books that were pivotal for you, but are there any like places you would tell people to go today besides your website?
You know, we make fun of 50 Shades a lot and it deserves to be. But the second 50 Shades of Grey movie, like 50 Shades Darker, that was actually really good.
That
did talk a lot about boundaries and safe things and talked about like the sexually exploitative relationship that like the Mrs. Robinson character had. I haven't watched Billionaires, but a lot of people tell me that the depiction of the dominatrix on that show is really good. Go to my IMDb profile and anything that I've done mainstream, they did a good job.
Yeah.
There really just isn't a ton out there right now.
Yeah,
yet,
that's true. What do we get wrong about it? What's the stereotype that we get wrong about BDSM?
I think that it, as you said earlier, that it's all about pain, about fancy costumes, about fancy toys. And it totally is. Like, I love having all my fancy costumes and toys and I mean, I'm in my dungeon now. I'm in my home dungeon and I have another dungeon. So
I want to go to your dungeon.
You
got
to come to my dungeon. Well, we're having like some stuff in person soon. I'll send you an invite to
please.
Some
I want to come
doing.
To your, yes, I'm coming to your dungeon. I'm
yes.
in.
BDSM is so cerebral. Like I always say, like I can do an entire session with you, just my pinky. Well, maybe not this pinky finger because it just got like that bee sting, but this pinky finger is so I can do it. I can do it all because it's so psychological. It's so about the cadence and the pacing out of my scene and what I'm doing with you that I love doing it with my fancy toys and clothes and dungeon, but I have also done scenes with none of that. And they've been incredibly powerful and amazing for people because It's so much about your mind and body experience and what you're willing to open up to me and what you're willing or able to give. And the more you can do that, the deeper we can go together.
Wow. Well, the thing I like about BDSM and power play is that, especially for people whose mind wanders during sex or they're anxious or they're in their head and worried what their partner thinks, or am I going to come? Am I not going to come? Or what do I look? How do I look? When you're engaging in that kind of connection with someone, like someone would do for you in a session or with their partner, it's really deep intimacy. Your mind can't wander to things. You'll be very present. You can go deeper in that way and be vulnerable. After the break, I asked Justine more of your Instagram questions, like how hard can you go with ball busting and so much more. Are there any scenarios that you think in the moment, like they've decided, they've done your paperwork, they went to your site, they filled it out, and then like, is there like a starting scenario?
There just isn't, because I have no idea what these people want. You know, every side, like, you know, and it's a fair question. Everyone's asking like, well, what is like your standard session? Okay, I can kind of walk you through one, but I really don't do the same session twice. Unless it's a client who really just wants that same session over and over again. It is so different with what I want to do, what they want to do, like the energy that I'm feeling from that situation. You know, I'm trying to stick to the flight plan, but sometimes I have to go off map, you know, with their consent, of course. I'm not doing anything unconsensually, but it's really just about understanding what each other wants and trying to figure out a middle road to give that to each other. If you're in a good, loving, caring relationship, or at least in maybe a momentary relationship to have a fun time together.
So do you find that there's a lot of people who can play or have their BDSM or their play partners, but they're not necessarily their like committed partners or their sexual partners? Do you see that a lot, that people are like, well, my partner's not into it, but I'm going to go play somewhere else? Especially if they let their partner know, which I think that would be the healthiest scenario.
I would hope so. Yeah, but then there's that whole kink shaming thing we talked about earlier. I definitely have play partners that are not my partner that I live with, you know, and seeing people at parties and events and stuff. I think that you can do that. I mean, that's like the wonderful thing about, you know, the kinky poly BDSM world, is that you can really negotiate something that you want from someone else and have really clear boundaries. I mean, nothing is perfect. Like, people fall in love with their fuck buddy or their play partner and things happen, of course. But
all the time.
That can happen whether you're monogamous also. So it doesn't, like, that's like a terrible argument. But I think this is like a wonderful way to get different things that you want if maybe your nesting partner isn't the person who can give those things to you.
Yeah, your nesting partner. Mm-hmm. I'd love to see a world where people are nesting and with the partner that shares their kinks and their fetishes and all the things. I mean, it's more kink. I mean, people, I often explain the difference between fetishes and kinks, but foot fetish is still, I would say it's one of the top fetishes, right? Would you say most common?
Yeah, of course. And I think you're asking like how long, or something more about like how long have people been kinky with like Freud and stuff. It's like, well, forever. There are cave painting drawings like depicting scenes of, you know, sadomasochism. And we've always had a foot fetish because we've had feet forever, you know. So something like a latex fetish is fairly new, because latex as a garment is newer compared to, you know, feet. Latex new, foot old. So, yeah.
Okay. So someone says, how safe is ball busting? How hard can they be hit?
I've hurt my foot on ball busting and they're fine. Yeah.
Wow.
I haven't broken my foot, but I've definitely, yeah.
Okay.
They can withstand a lot. They can withstand a ton of, the human body is pretty resilient, you know, I got to tell you. Like, yeah.
That's amazing. How do you ball bust? Like, what does that look like when you do ball busting? How do you do that in a session?
Well, it depends. We'll have them standing usually, depending on how much we're doing this. But wait, we'll have them standing. I might tie the cock out of the way. And then I'm kicking them in the balls, or have them hold their cock. I mean, I can also do that on the floor, and have them, you know, spread their legs and kick them. I have this really cool bondage bed. It's not here right now because it's getting out for repair. But my bondage bed is this really amazing custom bed by Downtown Willie. And it has like holes in the middle of it that has like, I can put my foot in. So I can put my foot down in the middle of this cage while someone's lying on the flat inside the cage and kick them that way. So that's really fun. And that will soon be at Dungeness. I cannot wait.
Oh my God. And are you wearing shoes? Like you have heels on or something?
Yeah, I'm usually wearing shoes. Some people want like barefoot because then it's not as hard, but I'd rather like have something protecting my feet because you can break your foot. I mean, your foot has a lot of really tiny bones in it and you can hurt yourself. So I usually don't do that barefoot just to protect myself. I'm usually wearing a boot or something, but I might not kick them like as hard. That just seems intimidating. I don't want to hurt my foot.
Okay, that makes sense. How did you know you were dominant?
I think I just always knew. Like I always say, my friends in high school gave me this book. I Was a Teenage Dominatrix by Shauna Kenny, which is autobiographical mm-hmm. and it's about her. Have you read it?
Yeah, I have it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So it's like about her journey as being a dom, but it's really about her journey of like trying to leave the working class and be middle class. And how do you do that? Oh, through sex work. Okay. That's great. You know, I wasn't raised in a house where women were put down or demeaned, and my family's fairly progressive. So there was no like shaming of like a body or, you know, things like I identify as queer. I didn't have a coming out, but there was no shunning of like the queer, just, you know, the queer me.
Right.
So I think it just makes things like normalized for me. And it's like you mentioned earlier about like, how do we untangle like our childhood trauma and stuff? Well, as long as you were a child, that's how long. So, but there was no trauma of like being less than as a female or like raised really religiously or something.
Right.
Where
so it turns you on then to be dominant. Here's an Instagram question. Any suggestions for honorific pet names that aren't daddy, seems uncomfortable, or sir, too formal?
There are so many. I mean, just go on FetLife and there's like 1,000 that you can find. You can probably do a Google search and find different honorifics that work for you. I mean, there's gender neutral ones now. You can use mix or mixtress. Sir and daddy can have negative connotations that I completely understand. There's just so many to just find and, you know, making up ones. You know, mix is not like a made up word, but like a newer word that we've created because people didn't. Masters and master and slave, like these are, you know, these don't have like necessarily great connotations.
No.
You know, and I try to not use them as much, but also in the BDSM community, like I'm only thinking of them in the BDSM, you know. I would just like do Google search or look on FetLife for different honorifics that resonate with you. And it's important to find one that feels good for you. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. You get to make it up. As you're talking, I'm thinking about play and make believe when we're mm-hmm. little and playing games. I did that for hours with my friends and in my room. And we get away from play as we get older. And there's so much like responsibilities in life and work. But what we're really talking about is play. And I think it doesn't have to be so dangerous and so scary to kind of open up. And how fun to find the names that feel good to you and to just play with your partner and see what happens. Like that's how you're going to keep thriving in your sex life and you're going to keep it interesting. So just in talking to you, I'm like, how fun, like Google it, see what resonates for you. What are some ideas to explore with a female dom and male sub dynamic? Okay, which is what you do. So
all of them, anything. What do you want to do? Ask each other. Find out what you want to do. Do those things. Find out what you don't want to do and don't do those things. I know this is so simple, but you'd be so surprised we're not doing this. Really exploring what it is you want to do, finding that play, making sure that it's within everyone's boundaries and everyone's getting full consent for this. And you have fully negotiated this out before you start playing.
Yeah. And the talk can be fun. So, okay, this is our last question from the listeners. What are the best ways to restrain and tie up your partner other than four bed corners?
I mean, so many ways, like a coffee table, my dungeon, eye bolts, putting in eye bolts in different places. I've seen a lot of interesting hotel room bondage. You can get, it's a little bit of a pain in the ass unless you have it set up always, but like underneath the bed restraint systems,
I have them on my bed. They're awesome. I have the sport sheets restraints and I love them, and you can get them at Good Vibrations. The link will be in the show notes.
Yeah, no, I have one by sport sheets. Honestly, I find it easier to just put in discreet eyeball. I mean, I have a dungeon also, but like even I have a dungeon, but you know, I have this like amazing bed by my friend who makes this company called It's Not Trash, and she just like goes and dumpster dives and makes like these amazing beds. And she's like, I've put in so many eye bolts to beds because of you. And just like this bed will not break. And, you know,
oh, cool.
Yeah. Doing things like that. There's also like over the door restraint systems. You just want to make sure that whatever you're tying someone to is sturdy. It's not going to fall over. It's not going to hurt them.
Right.
That's good. You know, you can tie them to themselves. You can do hog ties. You can, you know, really simple wrist cuffs, ankle cuffs, tying them to the outside in kind of a little hunched over crab position. That's really good and pretty simple to do with just clips. Yeah.
All right. Good tips there. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you the 5 quickie questions we ask all of our guests.
Okay.
They're quick. Ready? What's your biggest turn on?
Oh, my girlfriend.
What's your biggest turn off?
Stupid people.
What makes good sex?
Talking beforehand about what you want to do and getting it.
Something you tell your younger self about sex and relationships.
You're doing everything right, and it's just going to keep getting better and better the longer you keep going.
What's the number one thing you wish everyone knew about sex?
It's really amazing, and it's not that scary. And just talk to your partner about what it is you want to do and what it is that you don't like to have honestly amazing sex every single time.
Yeah, so true. Justine Cross, thank you so much for being here. Tell me how people can find you and what you have going on, all the things they can join.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, Emily. Yes, you can find me on my website, which is losangelesdominatrix.com. You can find me on Instagram as the Justine Cross, as well as on Twitter for Justine Plays. But please don't DM me there for business inquiries. it is not Instagram is not a safe space for amazing people such as myself. So please always go to my website, or you can always email me. Some things that we have coming up, we're going to be continuing doing online classes like a BDSM 101 class, as well as we're moving carefully into in-person events at Dungeon East. So we're going to have some classes coming up, as well as play parties like BDS Femme, which is a play party for cis and trans women only. So check that out. But again, just always look at my website, losangelesdominatrix.com. My website for Dungeon East is dtladungeon.com. And that is a very fun place to have sex or do BDSM, you know?
Oh, fun. I love it. Okay, everyone should check that out. We'll put that in the show notes as well. Thank you so much for being here.
Great. Thank you.
That's it for today's episode. Thanks for listening to Sex with Emily. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us a review wherever you listen to podcasts, and share this with a friend or a partner. Believe me, if you got something out of this, they will too. We release 2 to 3 episodes a week. Find me on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. It's all at Sex with Emily. If you want to ask me a question about sex, dating, or relationships, you can email me feedback@sexwithemily.com or sexwithemily.com/askemily. And check out my website. We have so many articles on there helping you better sex. And you can check out our guides at sexwithemily.com/guides for free guides that will give you expansive tips and activities. Sign up for our weekly emails because, hey, I've been told I give really good emails. Was it good for you? Email me feedback@sexwithemily.com.